a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Going to Japan for this one, mate.
Yum.
Now, one of my hottest takes, one of my firmest takes, probably not hottest takes, but maybe unpopular opinion. It's a little bit of a tinfoil hat sort of...
Oh, I love it.
...take from me. It's about as tinfoil hat as I get.
Okay.
You know how I feel about dolphins. Right?
You know how I feel about dolphins.
I know.
So why...
Because they pull the wool over your
no,
eyes.
No, they don't. It's okay.
Got the whole world fooled.
No.
Yes, they do.
I know they have some... There's some bad eggs in the mix, I'll admit. But that's every species, man.
Dolphins are the perverts of the ocean. Said it before and I'll say it again. And I had a mate message me yesterday and he's like, what's your take on dolphins? And I was like, here we go, fire off.
Don't you
off.
Know me?
And he's like, oh yeah, he was talking to another one of our mates that he actually works with who had said, you should ask Tom his opinion on dolphins because they saw this story that came out of Japan. And what I will say before we go any further is if there's anywhere in the world that dolphins have a right to be pissed, it's in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Grain of salt.
Mm.
Actually, a bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of lemon juice.
No. Do they really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mate, you've seen the doco.
No, yeah, the doco is the cove. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't.
I've seen it.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
No, I know, right? So like I said, you know, there's a bit of back and forth here. But a man claims he's lucky to be alive after a horny dolphin stalking the waters off the coast of central Japan launched another attack on a swimmer. Oh, yeah. He's frustrated. I'm talking about the dolphin.
Okay.
The guy who got attacked was scared. He and his mate were in the water when they were attacked by a lone dolphin.
What's attacked?
Footage has come out, shows the dolphin stalking. Mr. Goto is his name.
Stalking or swimming?
Stalking him, then bumping into him. So the guy tries to swim away and bystanders start shouting, hey, that's the horny dolphin.
What?
Another swimmer, I would play you the audio, but you wouldn't understand it, would you?
Yeah, well.
Another swimmer nearby propels a paddleboard, like shoots a paddleboard out towards Mr. Goto to try and help him go away from the dolphin. But experts believe it's the same sexually frustrated mammal that's behind some 15 other attacks on swimmers summer.
Okay.
Up from 5 incidents last summer and 1 in 2022.
Wow, okay.
Right? So he's all getting right. more frustrated
yeah,
as the years
okay.
go by. So first the friend got a bit attacked. The dolphin raised its head in the water before turning to attack on him, like come out of the water, looked at him like, you. He goes, I knew it wasn't a shark, but it came straight at me. It attacked me and bit me. It kept attacking me. And I genuinely believed that I was going to die.
Come on.
I was most worried that I was going to be dragged under the water and further out to sea. I don't reckon that's your biggest problem. If a sexually frustrated dolphin's having a go on you, I don't reckon getting dragged anywhere is your problem.
Don't.
They get the lipstick out like
don't.
The dogs.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Thomas.
They
Thomas.
Will.
Okay.
Why do you reckon relax. That snout's that shape?
I don't.
Mate. He's got gruesome injuries now.
Come on. Drama. Dramatized.
Don't let them fool you. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. rainbows and dolphins? No. Perverts of the ocean.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Okay, now I was telling you guys the other day that I wanted a new Christmas tree. There's a couple of different varieties. I've done a lot of homework. The balsam Christmas trees are like the ones that everyone wants, right? Balsam
okay.
Hill. These are like the top of the top. These are like when you walk into, just say, the Grand Hyatt, they would have something like a Balsam Hill. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Or if you walk into someone's house in like Newtown. and they're very realistic.
Ah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Fake trees.
Yeah, okay. So you're talking about not getting a real one.
Well, I know. And I've copped some flack for this because my brother-in-law was like, oh, way to add more to landfill. And I was like, all right, I'm allergic to plants. Certain plants, and also the smell of Christmas.
Is that sort of made up?
Well, it is a bit, but a Christmas tree Do you want to see the hives? Do you want to see the photo of little baby Lauren covered in hives?
Oh,
and then covered in...
That was 40 years ago.
Yeah, it was. I'll show that all the hives joined together for one big hive.
Ah,
anyway.
And that's your face.
Is it hot in here? Anyway, so I was like, oh, am I good enough to finally get one of these trees?
Like a
in my late
one
30s, yeah, like, yeah. Am I good enough? And then I looked at the price and I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not good enough.
No.
So then I was like, okay, well, there was a Temple and Webster tree that I didn't name at the time, but Temple and Webster, good, nice, thicky, thick girl, right?
Mm.
Like full of like bush pine, bush, and it was a lower price, but the delivery was like $100.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not paying $100 for delivery. It's not happening.
Well, but if you, and my wife Carly messaged when we were talking about it and said cost per use. Have it for 10
That's
years.
Right.
Yeah. And then I had another guy, sorry, I've forgotten your name, on Facebook that showed his amazing tree and he's like, we're still paying off cost per use. Like, I'm still getting through that.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing tree. You should go for it. Well, you don't want to hear people and you're like, yeah, and you start selling yourself like, yeah, I should. I should.
I deserve that.
I deserve.
Yeah.
So and then I thought.
What have you landed on?
Okay. So then Maya, they've got a whole Christmas wing set up.
I know.
Not sponsored, but by the way, it's like.
Amazing.
It's intense.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they do it every year, but they've got like, they've got the tree and then they've got the theme. So themes are really big.
Mm.
So there's like, this is a Australian theme and this is a toy theme and this is like the traditional, Christmas in
red,
New York
red
theme.
And green.
Yeah,
and
right.
Snow and, yep.
And so I had a bit of a Google and I had I got out my pen and paper and I had price, height, width, what it comes with, warranty, delivery price, and how many pine needles there were.
No.
Yeah. And it turns out the most pine needles coming in at $9.51. Was the Maya one.
Per branch. You're talking about
951
total
pines,
trees.
Pine, like, well,
total
they,
little pieces of green plastic.
Well, yeah. Don't
that
say plastic.
Seem like,
no,
that doesn't
no.
seem like many.
No. Well, man, look at it. No, it seems it's good.
I'm thinking of the bigger picture here. You might need to add a little bit more to her job description if she's got time to do this.
Yeah. Coming from you, mate.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Guys.
Sorry, did you buy it?
Guys, I've got to get it. Got to get out
of
here.
Yeah, no, so I've decided that I've bought it.
Have you bought it?
I bought it.
Oh.
Good price.
Yeah.
And not sponsored again, but free delivery. So,
yeah,
and there was on sale. It was on sale. It was on sale.
What are you going to do with the rest of your year now that you're not counting pine needles?
Well, she'll be here at least till 10 o'clock each morning, mate, which is so much more than you have ever been.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
There's a brand new documentary. It's called Always Listening and it takes us behind the scenes of one of the oldest organisations dedicated to saving lives in Australia. It is Lifeline and I have two of the crisis supporters here in studio, both local ladies who do it locally. I've got Trina. Welcome, Trina.
Thank you.
And Simone. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Now, this documentary seems so important because Lifeline is a service that is used and has been used by millions of people across the journey. Trina, we'll start with you. Why did you decide to become a Lifeline support person?
Yeah, I was impacted by suicide. So at high school, I had a friend that suicided. And then when I worked professionally, there was a few more employees. One was a friend that suicided. I really wanted to make a difference. A conversation that we had had, was, no one would care if I died.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would care.
Yeah.
But didn't know what to say after that.
Mm.
You know, like, I'm definitely a go-to person, but what are those next conversations that you actually have to talk about and have to say. So I reached out to Lifeline Geelong and wanted to volunteer and it took some time because there was actually a lot of people wanting to volunteer.
Yeah.
So it took about 2 years before I actually got in.
Wow.
When I did, it was amazing, like absolutely amazing. The training is very organised. Obviously, there's a lot of topics that you have to go over.
Mm. And I guess it's still quite taboo, isn't it? I mean, people speaking of suicide, even now in 2024, people find it hard to reach out. They find it hard to know the right things to say if someone does come to you and say, I'm having suicidal thoughts. It is so good to say, hey, call Lifeline. They're there. They know what they're talking about. And they get to speak to someone like you on the other end of the phone.
Absolutely. And when we're trained, we know exactly, you know, what to look for, what we're hearing, and, you know, there's no judgment.
Yeah. Simone, you were also part of Lifeline in Geelong here. What's your story? Why did you start getting involved with Lifeline?
Yeah, quite similar to Trina. So I have my own lived experience with mental health and suicide as well. And it's always been something that I've wanted to do, to be able to help other people that are struggling, to be someone that people can talk to allow that space for people who are struggling with their mental health. Also for myself, I was studying psychology at the time, still studying psychology now. So I came on board just at the end of my bachelor's and have been able to keep on going through it while I've been studying.
Yeah.
And so it goes hand in hand with that really well. And we do get a lot of students coming on board to help facilitate their learning. And just another way to help and use our skills in a way to give back to people in the community.
Yeah, it's just so important. And I think this documentary, Always Listening, that's coming to SBS next Monday, is very important because it highlights the people behind the phone. And I guess we know that you're there when we call, you're there, but I don't really know how it works. So Trina, do you all work in a Geelong centre? Are you sort of on call? Are you at home? Like, if I call you for help, where do I find you?
Yeah, so Geelong is one of the largest centres across Australia. So we have 45 staff.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 25 of those that are paid staff, so overnight. So I've just come off at overnight. I started at 1 o'clock this morning.
Oh, thank you. That's hard.
But in saying that, you know, we have 58 paid staff across our centres that Lifeline Geelong are responsible for. We've got some that are in centre at Geelong, we've got some that are remote. So it allows people that do live remotely to still be a crisis supporter. There's some, you know, strict guidelines around that because we need to make sure that safety for the crisis supporter and their family, if they have families. And in the documentary, you'll get to meet Sonny, who is a crisis supporter, a text, and he does it from home.
Yeah. So. Simone, being a crisis supporter, you would hear people on the worst day, or one of the worst days of their life. Has there been a situation where you thought, this is too hard for me? I guess you're in psychology, so, you know, you kind of know that. But I imagine it must be so rewarding, but also so painful as well. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, we certainly do hear people, their worst stories, the worst moments of their life, but that's a gift to be there with people during those times.
Yeah.
And, you know, we come to Lifeline because we want to be there. We want to support. And though the things that we can hear can be very heavy, we're very well supported through the structures at Lifeline. We're taught self-care and we're really encouraged to look after ourselves. So I think all of the crisis supporters have sort of their own self-care systems in place. And that's, you know, before our shifts, during our shifts and after our shifts. So we come on board to the phones because we want to be there to support people in their darkest moments. We want to hear those stories and we want people to feel safe and comfortable to share that. And certainly with no concern that they're going to be impacting us at all.
Yeah. Is there anything that came out of the documentary that you didn't know yourself, Trina, that you thought, I work at Lifeline, but I found that out myself?
There was. Sir Alan Walker was an incredible individual that, you know, they show his home where it all began, but also the telephone. They've still got the original telephone from 60 years ago.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, and that's really key to where we are now. Like with technology, there's, you know, the mobile phones, your text messaging, the online chat. So there's different formats or different platforms that you can access now to be able to get the support that you need.
So it's not just the call. You can text Lifeline and you can go on and chat on the web and everything as well. Oh, cool.
Yeah,
okay.
So there's different ways and that's in terms of crisis support as well. So we are voice crisis supporters and there are text and there's online as well. And some of our centres across Australia actually have face-to-face.
Okay.
So there is Lismore's probably one of the kind of key ones that, you know, during the floods they set up the systems and had face-to-face. Teams on the ground.
And I guess nowadays, I mean, in 2024, we look at it, there's so many different factors. There's cost of living crisis, which is happening. There is, you know, even climate change stress that's happening. There's a number of different factors that could lead someone down to that path. Do you find that you're always in search of more people? Does Lifeline need more people at the moment, Simone?
We're absolutely always looking.
Oh, great.
So for the right person, for someone who's looking to give back, who's wanting to be there to help support others, we have a fantastic website. There's a lot of information on the steps to become a volunteer crisis supporter. We run a number of training groups throughout the year through Geelong and Lifeline Direct as a whole. They're run online. Mm-hmm. The training is incredibly supportive. There's online resources. There's online support from trainers and supervisors. And then once you get through that initial training period, then you're on the phones with a mentor with you, supporting you for your first few shifts. And it is just a really supported process to come on. So we certainly encourage anyone who's interested, who's thought about it before, just to come along. We run information sessions as well to have any questions you may have answered by one of the trainers.
That's amazing. This documentary, Always Listening, is by Genevieve Bailey, who did the I Am 11 and Happy Sad Man films as well. It is coming to SBS and it's on demand Monday, the 28th of October. Trina and Simone from Lifeline Geelong, thank you so much for coming in and giving us an insight as to the amazing things that you do. And thank you for supporting our community and, you know, doing it really in the shadows, but behind the phone line. And we don't get to thank you face to face a lot of the time. Only people that would call you and have that crisis talk with you would get that. But on behalf of the community, thank you so much, girls, for everything that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on KROQ 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom Lingy and Loggy Gold. The biggest lineup of entertainment is only on Stan. Now. Grab your popcorn, kids. It's Tom, Lingy, and Luggies. I feel seen on K-Rock and Action.
That's right, on a Wednesday morning, two will act, one will guess the movie. You guys are going to take us through a scene from a hopefully pretty famous movie so I can work out what it is. And then when you finish your acting, so we know we're all back in the room together, you pull down the curtain. Mm. It's a curtain, isn't it? Yes,
very
I got it right.
Good.
I miss one day. And then you say, and scene.
You ready? What, like, Lingy is 100% so good.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to have some trouble. But
so
okay.
Lingy's dialed in. That makes a nice change. all right, I've turned the background music down. Okay. Let's go. I feel seen.
You are the father of redacted and redacted and redacted, are you not? I said, you are the father of redacted and redacted and redacted.
Well, really, yes, of course. And you brought your references, I presume. May I see them?
Oh, I make it a point never to give references. A very old-fashioned idea, to my mind.
Is that so? We'll have to see about that one then, won't we?
Now, the qualifications. Item one, a cheery disposition. I am never cross. Item two, rosy cheeks. Obviously. Item three, play games, all sorts. Well, I'm sure the children will find my games extremely diverting.
Now this paper, where did you get it from? I thought I tore it up.
Excuse me. Item four, you must be kind. I am kind, but extremely firm. Have you lost something?
Yes, you see, I thought that...
And see!
Oh, well done. Felt like I was there.
Yeah.
Really? In the room.
In what sort of, like, what city were you in, perhaps?
I couldn't tell you what city, but I can tell you that, I mean, I'd be guessing, but I can tell you that you did a magnificent job at being Mary Poppins.
Yes, Tommy.
I am never cross. Item two... Rosy cheeks, obviously. Item three, play games all sorts. Well, I'm sure the children will find my games extremely diverting.
That's what gave it away, was play games all sorts. It just triggered a memory.
How good was Liu that obviously.
Well done, guys. Well done. Very well done. And for once, I got one right.
Yay!
Biggest lineup of entertainment is only on Stan. I Feel Seen returns next week.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Right, we're going to talk sort of, I guess, rugby. Rugby league.
Right. I'll just have fun, guys.
No. It's rugby league with a twist.
Oh no, I'm back.
Is it league? I don't know. Is Sam Burgess still a thing?
He
used to play for the Rabbitohs,
he
I'm
did
sure.
play league, and he isn't went he over to England as well. Did he play over there?
Doesn't he have a bit of
Well, mate, he's a rugby player. So, I'm not, mate.
Let's not
that's
mention
not
him.
Baseless. That's not baseless.
Let's not mention him.
Anyway, so he's still a thing. The rugby league great, he's described as.
He's got brothers too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Liam and Noel Burgess. And I'm rolling a lot of that today. The first one was off air though, so it doesn't count.
Okay. It's going to be a new theme going forward. No, we're just testing the water.
Mate, this point of the year, the barrel is very empty. So anyway, Sam Burgess, if you've never heard of him, he used to play rugby league for the Rabbitohs.
Thick neck,
as they all do. And anyway, so he's married Lucy, who's a hairdresser, in a lavish wedding after a couple of years of dating. I don't think it's his first marriage.
No, it's not.
No.
He's got an ex-wife.
Yeah, and some kids and stuff, and I don't think it ended super well. But they got married in Rome, and it was a big do.
Yeah.
Her background, she's a hairdresser now, but she was also on X Factor UK in 2009. Right, and she was part of a girl group that was put together a la 1D sort of 6 years later, sort of down there, about 2015, I think, 1D. Anyway.
Oh. Was it All Saints? Sugar Babes?
No.
Girls Aloud?
Atomic Kitten.
Lower. Lower. Go lower down
kitten.
The scale.
So
they're called the Ultra Girls.
Oh, yeah.
They released one single. They did not win. They released one single. It was called Girls Will Be Girls, and it failed to chart in the UK, let alone anywhere else.
Unlucky.
It was just timing.
I did look for it. I could not find it, certainly not in our system.
Oh, well, that's sad.
But anyway, so the wedding's in Rome. Everybody's there having a good time. Destination wedding. They live in England, right? And, I mean, I know it's not super far to hop around Europe, but you're still asking people to go fly somewhere, pay for accommodation and stuff.
Mm.
So you want to put on a good wedding, don't you?
Yeah, you do. It's a bit of pressure.
Yeah. She's obviously not sort of let go of the whole Ultra Girls thing.
Okay.
Because, A, she's still mates with the rest of the Ultra Girls.
Yeah, oh, good. Great.
Yeah, amazing. I love that.
To have a reunion.
They got invited to the wedding. Well, funny you should say that, because at the reception there came a time when she jumped on stage,
oh, no.
grabbed the rest of the Ultra Girls and performed for the crowd.
Oh, she sounds good.
Does she?
She sounds good. I mean,
okay.
If it was maybe a
What percentage of the audience, or not even audience, guests at the wedding is this is great, and what percentage is this is so cringe it's not funny?
I feel like it's a captive audience, and if you do that, you've lured them there under false pretenses.
Yeah.
You've offered them a free feed, some drinks, but you're going to listen to me perform.
But it might be beautiful. It might be something that people, normal people, not sad people like us, don't find cringe. They find lovely.
I guess if there's any day it's okay to be self-indulgent, it's your wedding day.
Isn't it? Maybe. We're just mean.
Yeah, we'll see. Matt from Lovely Banks is on the line. Matt, have you been to a wedding where a big performance has happened?
At a trade school mate's wedding, and he got up, he started monologuing, and it went on and on and on.
Oh, my God.
Someone must have given him a look.
Yeah.
And he took the mic and he said, "I've got the goddamn microphone.
Oh.
I paid for your meal.
Oh.
You will sit there. Oh. You will hear every goddamn word I have to say."
Oh, my goodness. What was he talking about? His now wife?
I forgot.
Yeah.
I tuned out.
Was he trying to do stand-up, or was it like just a speech?
It was just... I don't know. He just started rambling.
Doesn't that seem like a really good way to lose friends? Like, people, if you went to a wedding and that was the way you were addressed in a speech, you'd be like, I might not call you again.
If it wasn't for his voice, you'd hear a pin drop. Everyone just went, whoa.
Plus, you're costing yourself more money on booze because everyone's like, God, just keep shoving it in. Shoving it in and let's make this not hurt.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that, Matt. Tiffany's in Grovedale. Morning, Tiff.
Morning. How are we, guys?
Yeah, good. Have you seen a performance at a wedding?
Have I seen it? It was my wedding.
Ooh.
And it was my ex-husband.
Oh, what's he done, Tiff?
Oh, he thinks he's a singer. Well, he thinks he is. Very cringe. Second to last song of the night, he gets up and sings Twist and Shout.
Twist and Shout.
Yes, the Beatles.
Was everybody, like, made to sit down and to see this
performance? Everybody was dancing.
Okay, well, I mean, at least people were able to participate if they wanted. Take it up, baby, now. Take
it up, baby. That's it.
Is that what it sounded like?
Negative.
Was it kind of, instead of twist and shout, was it?
Yeah, a bit like that. There was a few beers under the belt by then.
Yeah, I bet. Sounds dreadful. Obviously, it worked out well too. So.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.